So we began last week Simin Taf Nun Aleph. We got through, we started with Sif Gimel. We did Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, those are pretty basic. So Sif Gimel we started off, we're going to skip the first Mishnah Berurah. We did it last time. There was an interesting Mishnah Berurah about switching from dairy to meat and meat to dairy. That the halacha is that the Ashkenazim have the custom not to switch in general. You can't just kosher something meat and turn to dairy or vice versa. The Sfaradim, I believe, do not have such a custom. But when it comes to kashering for Pesach, if you're kashering for Pesach, just making everything clean for Pesach, so once now it's Pesedik, so then you can decide to switch it to the opposite if you'd like. That was something we came up. And also if something became treif and you're kashering it because it's treif, so now it becomes neutral, that would also be another example where you can switch from milchik to fleishiks or fleishiks to milchik. So let's read at least the beginning of the Mechaber and Siv Gimel. Again, Simen Tuf Nun Aleph, Siv Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Sakinim Magilan Bichli Rishon Umutarim. A knife, if they became, it was used for chametz, and you want a kasher, you have to do hagala in a Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon is a water that had been boiled over fire, and even after you remove it from the fire, that water is still considered Kli Rishon while in that pot. Now, obviously, if it cools off, it's no longer Kli Rishon, but as long as it's still pretty hot, it's not going to be boiling anymore. It's not going to bubble anymore. But if it's a few moments after it's been taken off the fire, that's considered still Kli Rishon. So you dip it in the knife when it's in Kli Rishon, but the practice is to dip it in while it's mamish over the fire and still bubbling. So then the Mechaber writes, Ukli Rishon Nikra, as he explains what a Kli Rishon is, Sheher Tichu Bamaim Al Ha'esh. It's where the water is boiling while over the fire. Afilu eina ata al ha'esh, even though you may have removed it from the fire, it's no longer, it's not now on the fire, rak sho den rosech, as long as it's still boiling. Now it's usually not going to bubble. The moment you take it off the fire, it's going to stop bubbling, but it's still considered boiling in terms of the temperature, but it's not going to be bubbling anymore. So if you, yeah.
What happens if you have an instant hot, and that water is generally hotter than boiling water too? Could you put that in a pot and put that in, and do it the same way then?
Put that in a pot. What do you mean, put that in a pot?
You
mean pour it from there into a pot? No, that's already cliché. If you pour it into something else, that next thing becomes a cliché. Then you have to reboil it in the new pot to get to the point of boiling. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chaf, She'odenu Roseach, so it's still boiling. V'yu ha'maim malin resich has to be causing the bubbles to go up. Uktila Kaman, Simon Tafnun Beis, we'll get into greater detail in the next Simon, Ayin Sham. You have to place the knife in the boiling water. You don't need evan meluban al hasakin. You don't need to place a boiling rock on the knife and then water over that. Some instances we will see you have to do that. Retain a lav roshon and then pour water over that. That we don't need by a knife. The kli evan is placed in it properly. The rock's not going to stay well in the knife. It's just not a practical way to do things. Now, the idea of a kli evan meluban is typically the example that's used is a countertop. Now, countertop, if you assume you have to kasher it, we're machmir to kasher it or to cover countertops. The reason being is because something could fall, chametz could fall onto your countertop. Now, when that falls over there, let's say it was a davar gush. A davar gush is a solid. If it's a liquid, a davar lach, falls onto my countertop, so now the only way to kasher it is kibolo kach polta. The way to absorb is the way it's going to be removed. So if a hot soup fell on the countertop, I pour hot boiling water that kashers it. But let's say a piece of meat, hot meat, falls onto the countertop. That that meat is considered davar gush. Davar gush is where a solid retains its heat. The example they usually use is a baked potato. You cut it wide open, it's steaming out. It retains its heat. So now if something hot, solid hot food, falls on it, now that might be considered a kli rishon.
How hot
on, what?
How hot would the hot meat need to be to affect the count?
If it's a kli rishon,
it's
the meat. It was cooked in fire, whatever
no,
cooking.
You're saying, so hot meat fell on the countertop.
Right.
What's hot meat?
I don't know the temperatures.
So liquid, you would say it's yeah, so lettuce bill or boiling?
Yeah.
So what is it for meat?
I don't know exactly. I don't know the temperatures. I don't know. If it was cooked, it came straight from the oven. What that temperature is, I don't know.
How hot does that be for the transfer into the countertop?
I don't know how hot. I don't know. It has to be hot enough. Whatever that heat is, but I don't know.
I don't know if it...
But whatever that is... whatever that's hot enough, it's boiling, and that davar gush, that meat falls on the countertop, that countertop now is usur, more than simply a davar lach, it's more than simply eroy. That's when you require an evan meluban, to place an evan meluban, a stone, a hot stone that you put in fire, you place it now on your countertop, and then you pour boiling water over that, and then it drizzles over, it starts like steam and sizzle. That's how you counter how you kosher a countertop according to many posts. Not everyone requires it, but I think Rav Forrest recommends it. I know Rav Schechter says that's how you have to kosher countertops with an Evan Malubam. But
so why can't you just clean it, wait 24 hours? The countertop is not a heat source. It doesn't give off heat.
Neither does a knife. Knife doesn't give off heat either. Nothing to do with giving off heat. Something,
when the food is on the table, it becomes equilibrium.
That's all, yeah. So
why can't you just clean it, wait 24 hours, and sit down with
what do you mean? That undermines all of kashers then, meaning you never have to do any kashering. Don't wait. We always say, wait 24 hours, then you kasher it after the fact. That's always the din. For our gala, you always wait 24 hours, so now it's pagam, but we still machmir the chachila anyways. We're machmir that you should... Bidyeved, it doesn't trafe anything up after 24 hours, but we're machmir to kasher everything. Otherwise, you have to cut this whole simon thrown out the window.
The knife you're using to cut, let's say, hot meat. So you're using the knife. But the table is not something that you're using. It's just saying that meat fell onto the table.
Right, it's something whether it was touched ever with hot meat at such a high temperature to begin with.
Okay, that's granted. So. But it likely it probably has.
Why?
What do you mean why? You tell me your countertops are all clean?
I don't know if in the course of a year I ever have meat that hot touch the countertop. Really, yeah.
I doubt. If you cut a piece of meat and it doesn't fall off?
I don't think it's that hot.
Or, I don't know. I don't know about
it's
that.
It's that hot where it transfers it.
And chicken soup that never falls onto
chicken
it?
Chicken soup is liquid.
Right, solids.
It's solid kosher like that.
For, you're saying liquid for the Evan Muluban?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think meat, if you're cutting meat, it's possible the meat could fall off the cutting board. It's possible. Again, it's a suffix.
At a temperature.
Right. Anyway, this is a machlok, is whether you have to have an Evan Meluban. Rav Forrest recommends it. Rav Schechter requires it. These are the dinim. Now, again, if you don't kasher it, you're allowed to not kasher it. You leave it the way it is. And if any food falls on the countertop, throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, so
so you can. If you want, you could do that. Okay. I've never done it. You could go to, I think, Varieties on the Central Avenue sells it. A rock, a stone in a metal extension. You hold it. You put it in the fire for, 10, 15 minutes. It gets really, really hot. And you see it probably start turning red. Then you put it on your, you use gloves. And then you put it on your countertop and pour boiling water. You need a person to help you out with this. Pour it over the stone and it sizzles over that area. And you do this in every area of the countertop.
Is there a grill under it? Is it protected or do you just put the hot rock right on it?
You put it right on it. I would recommend speaking to your countertop guy. Make sure it won't ruin it, depending on what material you have. If it's made of stone, it won't get ruined. If it's made of something synthetic, it very likely can get ruined. So
you have to heat it up, but can you boil the brick also? People boil it.
I've never done it. Can it get hot enough when it's boiled?
So.
Okay, I don't know. I've seen always the fire. I've read places using the fire. Never saw the recommendation boiling, but if it could reach the temperature, yeah, why not?
Evan
Hugger, right. But if it gets red hot, then it's. I don't know if it can. I don't know the Matzias. Okay, let's go Vayta now the Mechaber. Mechaber now writes. The Kodem Haggalah, before you do the Haggalah, Tzarech Shel Leshufam Yafa, you need to clean it very well. B'mashchezes, Mashchezes, I'm not sure how to define exactly, some type of scraper to clean off the whatever keli you're kashering. Over Echaim, Lahavi Al Kol Chaluda Shebem, to remove any of the rust that might be there. Kodem Hechshem, you need to remove all rust or any dirt before kashering it. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, interesting Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat and Chabez on Chaluda, he says, "The chsib parshas hagalas kli midyan achas azav v'gomer." The pasuk in the parsha talks about cleaning the different materials of gold and silver. Kilomar rak es azav. You only have to clean gold. Dehainu kishein sham chaluda rak zav bavad. When there's no rust, there's only metal. There's nothing that's getting in the way. That's the rye that you have to remove all the rust. Bavad moelas hagala lehaflid habalua. It only is effective if there's no rust in between. About kishayesh sham chaluda, if there's some rust, yesh lachos shema yesh sham mashu min hachametz. There's concern that maybe there's some chametz embedded between the rust and the metal and the gold. V'chaluda mechaseu, it's covering it. Ulazeh lo mahani, hagala won't work, won't be effective in that case. Kiein hagala lamashu be'ayim. That the hagala doesn't work on chametz that's be'en, it only works on that which is balua, that's absorbed already in the kalim. All of this is bechaluda sheyesh baktsas mamashes. Only if the chaluda has some mamashes to it, something you could feel. Shekorn rust, he says. Shekagoru in osam. When you scrape off the rust, misham yesham kama afurim. There's some powder, some dirt that comes off. Sheoz yesh lachos shema yesh tachte mashu mamashes ha'iser be'en bechaluda mechaseu. About im ein bechaluda mamashes klal. If there's nothing substantial there. Rak mar bilvad, just discolored. It looks a little rusty, but nothing you could feel. It feels smooth. It just ruined the color of it. Kimoshin imsa lepamim sheish shachris or admimos. It's a little black. It's a little red. Betana pnimi shalkli shanu korin plekin. Okay, ksamim is a stain in the bottom. Says here, ain kpeda. That's not a concern. Stains aren't an issue. It's really when there's something on mamashes. The chen adin, the same halacha applies, but also in ksamim, those stains, hanasin bekli bedil, shekorin erid plekin, which again is on a tin, she'ein ma'akvin es ha'gala kemen shein behem mamashus rak mare bilvad. So this coloring is not considered rust, and that's not a problem. Only if there's some mamashus is it going to be a concern. You have to clean it first. So this is very, very important when kashering through ha'gala. The number one thing to always do is first clean it well. If you're kashering an oven, not through libun, but let's say it's not Libun Gomer, it's Libun Kal. It's a low-level heat. We'll get to those halachas. Or Hagala, you're kashering a pot, a knife, silverware. The first thing always is to make sure it's clean. After it's clean, you wait 24 hours. If it's simply discoloration, that's not a concern. Okay, back to the top now, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Hilkach, therefore, im yesh bo gumos, if there's some holes, v'ein yachol linakoso, yafa, you can't clean these holes well. Ein moil lo hagala. Hagala is ineffective. Perish haflata, the extracting of the tam. Shekelim poltin ha'iser shebehem. Hu blashon sharo iber v'lo yagil. Fine. Hagala doesn't work if you can't clean the holes well. Levad tzarech libun bimakom hagumos. We had already described before, according to most poskim, there's a fundamental difference of how hagala works versus libun. Hagala is the act of boiling water, steam, hot steam, maybe according to some that might be effective. It removes any of the tam, the iser that might be embedded in the walls. Libun, which is use of fire, a blowtorch, it purges the chametz. It doesn't remove it, it makes it into nothing. It really makes it it posels, it disqualifies, it renders the chametz as a non-entity. So if there are holes in the knife, and the chametz is stuck in between, you can't get the crumbs out, so then you put a blowtorch to those areas, and the rest of it you could do hagala. Okay, so then if you finish, we did that, let's see, the Ramah writes, v'hanadin shal sakinim, the handles of the knives, ein latakana b'hagala, there is no, the hagala doesn't work because there's an assumption, there's some cracks that you can't get the chametz out of, so hagala doesn't work, v'asal hachnis b'asakin b'pesach, you can't use it. You can't use the fire either because the fire might ruin it. So then you're stuck. You can't use these types of knives with separate handles on Pesach. You look at the Mishavuros, right? 9:15. Well, maybe we should skip Sifkat and Chav Gimel then. Okay, we'll skip Sifkat and Chav Dalet also. Okay. There's one footnote I want you to look at here, though. Those who have a deer shoe, I think number 23 in the back. No, 23 is here. Okay, so he mentions here, he quotes Rav Nissen Karelitz, who's not in favor of a suggestion that Rav Forrest does make in his book. Sometimes if there's a chametz stuck in between, you could pour some type of bleach and ruin it or something else that makes it, renders it nifsal ma'achilas kelev. He brings down here that he's not into that suggestion. It doesn't work because after time it wears off, that bleach or whatever you pour down there, and then the chametz remains as is. So that doesn't work to pour in these little cracks. I do know Rabbi Forrest suggests before kashering a sink and before kashering, if you hold of kashering a dishwasher, So then you should first pour something down the drain, and if there's any food that might be there, any chametz that's there that you can't really get out, this way it's now considered disqualified by pouring bleach down there. So I don't know if they're talking about different types of bleachers being used or some other material. So even though Rav Nissim Kralitz doesn't like the idea, Rav Forrest does say that that does work and should be used, he says, when kashering the sink. And again, a dishwasher, if that's a whole other sugya. Okay. If you look at the Mechaber in Siv Dala now. Kalim she mishtamshin behen al yidei ha'or. Utensils that were used with fire, not water, but the use of fire itself, kigon shfudim, which are skewers, vaskalios, vakilt bem, anything, you know, a fork you may have used on the grill, these types of things, what's the halacha, how do you kasher them? Tzrichen, they need libun, they require libun, valibun hu ad shehu nitzotzotz nitozen mehem. Now, the way Mechaber defines libun, how would you, what's the indicator that you've reached the point of libun, that the kalim got so hot, if it starts to have sparks flying? Now, that we're not going to find the sparks, you can, I guess, but the, what the poskim say nowadays, when it turns red hot, and you can actually see that. Any of you, in my first house, we had electric stovetop, those little coils. You have these coils at camp, you have some of these coils that heat things up. It's black, but when you turn it on fire, it turns red, the black turns red. So when you get to the point where that those kalim turn red, that indicates you reach the highest point, libun gamur, and what he describes as sparks flying, it's when it really turns red. But the Ramah adds here, v'yeshma kalim, they're those who use a lower temperature of reaching the point of libun, and that's im nislabin kolkach, if it gets so hot, shekash nisraf olav mibuchutz, that if you take a piece of straw, or an hour, or something more likely, we could use a tissue, and you put it against the metal, if that tissue or a straw could get singed from the heat, that's hot enough to be considered libun. That's a more lenient opinion, a lower temperature. And there are mapaskins of anagin, what's our practice? Kisvar rishon, we hold like the earlier opinion, the first opinion, the more machmir opinion, it has to turn red. Bechol davar shedino belibun. Anything that requires libun needs the point of it turning red. Aval davar shedino behagala. Something that requires really hagala, rak sheyesh bo sedakim o shemachmirin lilabno. But there's some cracks that hagala is not going to be getting all the crumbs out here, or you want to be machmir to use to do libun anyways. So then you could rely on the lesser opinion, sagi bo libun kal kazeh, the lower shita of libun, which is when it's hot enough to cause a piece of tissue paper to get singed. And then we'll go into greater detail. But the Ramah finish off saying a chatzuva. So let's ignore the chatzuva just for a moment. We'll come back to that. So let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chaf Ches. In the previous page, you just quoted the Ramaschil, Tzrichel Libun. These items that are used in the fire directly require Libun. So the Mishnah Berurah gives you a little bit of Hakdama here. It says, Aktim Hakdama Kitar. I'm going to present to you a short introduction. V'yitztarech Bekame Mekomos. So that you're going to need as we go through in a number of places. Da. The Gemara tells us the dafka davar iser hanivla bekli ayde or tzarech libun. Only an object that absorbed iser through fire requires libun. Aval davar heter hanivla bekli ayde or, if let's say absorb davar heter, I'm cooking my steak on my grill. That's a davar heter. I'm allowed to have the steak. So that steak was absorbed into my grill, into my skewers. That's a davar heter. So the lach is afshe kigon. One second here. Af shacharkach nesar. Let's say it was initially mutter, and then sometime afterwards it became usser. We'll give an example. Kigon basar kudshim. Kudshim shetzalahu b'shiput al gabe ha'or. Kudshim right now, the first day I'm allowed to eat kudshim. Let's say it's a chatas. So chatas, we have a couple kohanim here. A kohen allowed to eat a chatas. So the kohen eats a chatas, and then day one, it's permitted. But now after that skewer had absorbed some of the heter meat, after time it becomes... After a night? No.
No, sir.
No, sir. It's now no, sir. No, sir.
We're here
what?
Friday night.
I was here Friday night.
Is it Shabbos day? Why are we talking about this?
Shabbos day.
Shabbos day?
Yeah. Okay. Did you tell me? I knew the answer. So, yeah. So Nosar is Nosar's mutter, Asr rather. So the next day, the next morning, Nosar becomes Asr. So what happened was, when the basar initially was put, the kachim was initially cooked, it was a davar iser, that was nivla in the skewers, but it was davar mutter rather, when you cooked it initially, but overnight, the whatever remained inside became a davar iser. So that's what he explains here. Av shel basof na'aseh b'liya B'shipa nosar, even in the end of the day, those blios transformed into a nosar. Filohachi, hechsher shel shipud zedai ba'galam. You go based on the way it was used initially. So again, something used with fire, when it was a davar iser, that was absorbed through fire, that's when you require libun. But let's say it was a davar mutter, b'shas, when it was used, it was only a davar mutter, even though there was fire, but it's mutter, nothing was absorbed, it wasn't usser. Even though afterwards it became usser, it's enough to use hagal. You don't require libun in that case. So now bring it to our case, chametz. Chametz, it was used during the year. Chametz is a davar heter. Davar heter, it was used in fire. So let's say, I don't know, you're cooking challah. You're making challah in the oven, and there's an esh there. That's a davar mutter. Now Pesach time, it becomes a davar iser. So seemingly, now even before that, we're kashering it before it even becomes a davar iser. It's before Pesach starts. So seemingly, everything with chametz used with fire should be mutter with hagala. You don't require libun for anything. Because it never, it's when you're kashering it, it's still a davar heter. So he explains a very interesting machlokas here. But yet, nonetheless, there is a machlokas by chametz. What's the machlokas? Yesh omrim, there are those who say, dizeh gamkein mikre heter balam. Chametz is also considered something mutter that was absorbed. Shebe'em sashana, sometime in the middle of the year, you're making shenivla chametz shela mulsya b'shipur hayahet. There was a davar heter. Vayidei v'alkein sagi ba'gala. Therefore, it's enough to kasher all chametz kelim with hagala, even if used with esh. Uleditu, according to these opinions, or this opinion, ko kelim shetam tashmishon aydei or l'ne pesach dai ba'gala. So this first opinion is very, very important to know. Hagala is sufficient. Now, even though we don't recommend this, if need be, for whatever the case might be, it's good to keep in mind that there is a shita out there that hagala is sufficient. V'yeshomim, there are those who hold. Dafka nosar, no, only nosar could be considered a heter of hagala. Again, nosar was when I cooked my kudshim, it was a davar heter. And even though it became nosar later on, you go based on the beginning, and the beginning was a davar heter, hagala is enough. That's only dafka nosar. Why? Shebe'es ha'belia lo ha'yashen. This is a very lamdash mishaburiya. Shebe'es belia lo ha'yashem nosa basaklau. This meat was called kudshim. It wasn't called nosar. There's no shame nosar on this at all. The guy could, the kohen would have eaten it. He could have sucked out the belias, let's say. Lachain nikra davar zeh b'shem heter bala. That's called heter bala because the shame nosar is not even on the radar. About chametz. The be'es hishtamshus hashipud, when you use the skewer, the chametz, hayashem chametz al-bliya, that's called chametz. That's an usher, but it's still called chametz, has a shame chametz, and therefore he says that v'achshav gam kein shmo chametz, ela she'ata nis'ore ha'isr l'mafreya al-shem chametz zeh. When Pesach comes, it retroactively says, when I used the chametz 6 months ago, that had a shame iser on it, and it was considered nivla be'iser. Lo mikre, that's not called b'shem heter bala. The chametz bala besocha gam achshav chametz u b'chal iser bala hu b'tzichen libun. So that's a very, very important machlokas poskim that the Mishabura presents. Again, there's a lot more lumdus to this. U lazeh. Hiskimu rova poskim, and most poskim say this is how we paskin, like the second man damar, he quotes the Beis Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yerucham, Valkeina pasak ha-mechaber kvasayo, that's why the mechaber paskins this way, that were machmir to require the libun, even by chametz. Mikomakom, ein lumod midin zeh, limakomus acherim, don't apply this elsewhere, dilapamim, there are certain instances, heichashiesh ot stadim laka, you could, mimit sarfin, you could combine other heterim, gamkin lazeh, das aposkim, disfir lu chametz mikre heterabala. So at an isolated position, we paskin, you require a libun. If you're going to add a number of places, let's say you're using a frying pan or something that can't be kashered with hagal, with libun, added with the fact that some never require libun in the first place, I'm not saying this is true, I'm just trying to think of other tzadas l'hakel, you can rely sometimes on the cases of hagala.
So this is the perfect case with the meat falling on the counter.
Why, you could do libun on that, you could do evan melubun, it's another way to do it.
No, I'm saying you don't have to, because he says you could do just regular hagala.
When did he just say that?
He said
we don't pass him that way.
The first way.
We don't pass it. He just said we pass it the second way, that you require libun. If there are other some instances where there are a number of different kulas you could apply together, mitzayif other kulas, so then sometimes poskim will say it's enough to have a gala. So you have to, he hasn't told us which situations are there, like that. You can't just start plug them in because you want to plug them in. You have to figure out and see what the poskim say. He's just saying, don't make this as a klal in every single situation.
The Rebbe mentioned grill. I mean, a barbecue, you could kasher also.
Barbecue, we don't kasher barbecue. Yeah. We say not. In the Chor, you should be able to, because if you use a blowtorch, it purges everything. But I think Rav Forrest is against it. He thinks you can't get it clean so much. It's hard to say that you can't get it clean because we don't care about it being clean. Once you put a blowtorch to it, lechora, but it might be harder to get the cover. The cover could be very hard in itself. So, but I think the recommendation is not to kasher grills for Pesach. Let's look now at Mishabura Sifkatan Lamed Dalad. The Rama mentioned this line, the three words here, chatzuva tzarach libun. What exactly is chatzuva? This is a very important halacha l'maisa. Hu kli sheyesh lo shalosh raglayim, it's like a tripod, umamidin ala kederi, you place a keder on top of it, o machavas batanor al haor kol shana. So it's a tripod, it's what we would consider like grates on the stovetop. You hold up the pots. Vim rotze l'shtamish ba b'pesach tzarach l'labno b'or. So if you want to kasher these grates, like the stovetops, that's why you require libun. Ulefil shelapamim nishbach alea isa nivla batam. Even though no one puts food directly in the grates, but sometimes a soup falls over, or I don't know, dough, or Seth's house is very, very clean. It may not happen in his house, but dough might fall, or meat might fall sometimes in the grates. What?
Noodles
will fall sometimes. So noodles are probably a great example. That's really chametz. So sometimes the dough or noodles fall on top of it, so the grates are now absorbed with chametz. And through fire, because there was esh that was right there. V'zeu rak l'chadchila mishum chumra de chametz. So how come you require libun? It's a chumra Pesach. Because the be'emes in reality, says the Mishabura, shtei kaderos hanogo zobazu ein yotzeis abliya mizulazu. Let's say I've got a milchik pot cooking cheese, noodles and cheese. And I've got a chicken soup pot right next to each other. They're touching each other, the pots. Nothing's overflowing. Nothing could transfer. Nothing could go from a food to the kli to the kli to the kli to the food. Doesn't work that way. So now, if I, even though my noodles may have gotten on my grates, so I'm cooking Pesach on top of my grates. So that grate that has chametz and it cannot get through my Pesach pot and then into my Pesach pot food. Doesn't work that way. So you don't need any type of kashering. That's the MS, he says. It's just the chumra Pesach. And he quotes k'mevor b'yor deya simen tzadi be'yisiv zayim. V'gam yesh lidlo sha'afim nishbach, even if it does fall, let's say noodles fall in there, or something else falls in there, it's not so shaykh by our fires, but maybe back then it was. Kfar nis... What?
You're saying
something falls on the grate, no? Right. Kfar nisraf v'holach lo, it gets burnt immediately, and it's purged. Kevin shebechol shahi al-eish, it's always on the fire, and it's rendered nothing. But I don't think that's our fires are hot enough. I find many times a noodle or will be stuck in between. It doesn't get burnt. It's still there. It hangs out in that little cavity underneath there.
On the grate itself. On the grate.
It doesn't get nisraf. The noodles are noodles. It doesn't get nisraf.
It doesn't on the grate. On the grate itself, with the fire.
The noodle touches it, hits it, right, and now it gets in its balua in it. It doesn't get nisraf.
When you turn on the fire.
On the grate,
because when you turn on the fire, isn't the fire eating the grate?
If it's not right underneath it, it's not burning.
Okay, anyways, fine. So then Mishabur says, Liban Kal. And in this case, he says, certainly enough to have the lower temperature of Liban Kal, where it doesn't have to become hot red hot, but enough to be hot enough to purge a tissue or a straw. Ubidiyeved. Afim nishtamish alav bli libun klal gamkin ein lesser. Even if you don't do anything to it, it's still fine. People make a whole big deal about it. It's Pesach. We make a lot of big deals about Pesach. I believe Rav Yashiv says, he points this out. I didn't see it here, but I think I must have missed it. He says, since our grates are a little further away from the fire, they're not directly in the fire. So he doesn't think anything that falls on the grates gets burnt right away, like you were suggesting. Maybe back then it did, but in ours it doesn't get that way. He doesn't think you can rely on Libun Kal Bisman Azeh. He thinks you should do Libun Gomor. That's what many posts can require for the grates to make sure they're red hot. Now that's the way to do that, to get your grates to be red hot, is the Eitzah that they suggest is put a sheet of metal over or aluminum foil, turn on the fire. This way it keeps the fire, enveloping the fire within the grates. And then after 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, if you look, the light's off, you can see it turns red. And then you know you hit Libun Gomor. Gets very, very hot in the kitchen. I've done it before. What I end up doing now, we end up just wrapping all the grates with aluminum foil. The aluminum foil is like the best way to kosher things. It's not really koshering anything. It's really just making a separation and covers everything up.
But
that's what we do. Yeah, but a lot of times it ruins it. It turns it very white. It discolors it. So oven, yeah. So we don't do that. We just cover it. Yes, sir.
The OU and the Star K, they can kosher the grills. What they say is if you want to use the same grades, you line it with charcoal and light the charcoal up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They say for the hoods,
yeah, that's the big issue.
On the highest temperature for an hour.
And that's enough, you think. Okay. I think Rav Forrest is against it, but
you gotta make sure it's cleaned out. They say you don't have to worry about anything that fell in after you do
because the fire's there.
That purges everything.
But I think Rav Forrest's concern is the hood. The hood gets hot enough, they think.
If you close it for an hour,
yeah.
I have a temperature in mind. It's like 600-700 degrees.
Okay. I'll double check Rav Forrest what he says. I thought he was against it, but it makes sense that it would work as long as you could use fire. So why do you need to do the coals? If you turn the fire on,
that's for the grate.
The grates.
Yeah, that's for the grates.
But the fire won't come up. Right, the fire won't hit it otherwise.
Yeah, so I guess you have to use a deep line with charcoal, and that's koshering the. I know when we once for one of the when we used to have the barbecue here on Memorial Day. So when we rented the grill, for whatever reason, we kosher it, and the way he said to kosher the grill. We were pretty sure it was not a kosher grill. That he said is put a charcoal, line it, cover it with aluminum foil, and let it go. And that's what we did.
All right. Okay. So let's stop here. Let's dial Marv. We have a minute, I think. And then maybe next week, tomorrow night rather, we'll. There's an interesting footnote here about dentures or braces or things like that. Do we have a minute?